All right, brethren, let's turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Speaking of our Lord, it says, as he passed by, Mark 2:14. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, this is Matthew. He was sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Let's go to the Lord. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your holy, wise hand guiding us, protecting us continually. Thankful, Lord, that you give us boldness to come to you in your holy high throne through Christ your Son. Lord, we ask you now to teach us, send forth your Spirit, speak to our hearts, and Lord, if you're willing, we ask you to increase our faith. We ask you to subdue our sin nature. We ask you, Lord, to call out one of your lost sheep. Lord, work it for your honor and glory. Magnify Christ. It's in his precious name we ask it. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, is the great physician. He's the great physician. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's who he is. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's the God-man. God came down here in human flesh, and as the mediator between God and his people, he reconciled his people to God. He purged our sin, put it away, and reconciled his people to God. And he comes to us and speaks. He comes to us and he speaks. And he heals us. When he speaks the word into our heart, the living word, the incorruptible seed, and he creates life. And he keeps calling us, and he renews us, and he strengthens us, and he protects us and keeps us. He's the great physician, the great physician. He unites us with him in spirit so that in that new man, there's no sin. We're united with him. We're one in him. We're one spirit in him. That hidden man of the heart, which Peter said is incorruptible, can't be corrupted. It's where he abides. And where he abides, there's righteousness. Where he abides, he sanctifies. And he's the life of that new man. He's the healing power that makes life and keeps life and sustains life within. Now Levi here, Matthew, he was a publican. He was a tax collector, very covetous sinner. Probably he was a wealthy man. He probably had made his living oppressing people. Probably in crooked ways. But he's dead in sins. Dead in sin. And with two words, just spoke two words, follow me. And the Lord made him whole. Follow me, and he gave him life, spiritual life, and made him whole inwardly. He granted him repentance with those two words. Follow me, and he granted him repentance. We can preach and preach and preach and say all these things in our words. It's this word. It's his word. And it's him speaking his word into the heart. And he grants repentance, a total change of mind. Levi saw himself in a totally different way. He saw himself a thieving, sinful tax collector in need of salvation. And he changed his mind. He granted him repentance. He changed his mind concerning Christ. He saw Christ as all his salvation. Just two words, follow me. And so right then, he began following Christ from that new man that had been created within him. And he made a feast at his house. He invited all his friends, all his co-workers and friends. He invited them all. He wanted them to meet Christ, his Savior. Verse 15, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in Levi's house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. The Lord Jesus was so lowly and so meek, so merciful to sinners. He came into this house, he sat down, and there's many publicans and sinners sat down together with him and his disciples. Many of them, it said, there were many, and they followed him. Verse 16, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? I wonder how they said this. Well, they said it to the disciples, but the Lord heard. Verse 17, and when Jesus heard, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The reason that sinners do not come to Christ is because they think they're whole. The reason sinners don't come to Christ, they think they're whole. He said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. Whole people don't need a physician. Sick people need the physician. And every person born into this world is a sinner. Everyone is sick, but very few believe they're sick. Very few believe it. It's not sin that's keeping a sinner from Christ. Sin doesn't keep a sinner from Christ. If God makes us, if he grants us repentance and changes our mind to see what just, what something of the sinfulness we are and the sin we are, we'll flee to Christ. He shows us Christ, we'll flee to Christ. The reason men do not come to Christ for mercy is they don't think they have a need of Christ. Only true sinners need mercy. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. The great physician didn't come to heal the whole. He didn't come to call the righteous. Listen to what he says here. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ says, I came not to call the righteous. He said this to the scribes and the Pharisees who thought they were righteous. He's saying to them, I did not come to call you. That's what he's saying to them. They didn't want him to call them. They didn't think they needed him to call them. What does he mean here by the righteous? Well, he does not mean that any are truly righteous of ourselves. That's not what he means. There are none righteous, no, not one. He doesn't mean that there are some that are righteous and they don't have a need for him to call them. That's not what he means. Nor does he mean that he does not call some who vainly imagine they are righteous. That's all of us by nature. Saul of Tarsus is an example. He said, I was blameless. Nobody could accuse me of sin. I was blameless. But when the Lord made him know what the law said about him, made him see himself, then he saw he didn't have any righteousness. He didn't have any righteousness. His very nature was sin. So who are the righteous? The righteous that Christ called, who are they? Who are the righteous that Christ said he didn't come to call? The righteous are sinners, but they imagine they're righteous. They think they're righteous. The righteous compare themselves with others worse than themselves to make themselves feel righteous. It's a common practice. Remember Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. That's not really thanking God, is it? I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. They're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers. I'm not even like this publican. We're talking about a publican here that Christ called. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. The righteous imagine they can give themselves spiritual life and believe on Christ whenever they get ready, whenever they choose. Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Just flat out spiritually dead. You must be born from above. Our Lord said, no man can come to me except my Father, which is in heaven. Draw him. And everyone he draws, he said, they're coming. And I'm not casting them out. It's of his own will that he begat us with the word of truth, with the incorruptible seed, the living word. That's when he makes us willing by his power. That's when he makes us willing. The righteous imagine they can make themselves holy by changing their outward behavior and keeping the law outwardly before men. They can clean up the outside and that'll make them righteous. And that'll make them justified and it'll make them accepted of God. The righteous only need a Jesus that makes up for their shortcomings every now and then. Just every now and then they fall a little short and they need Christ to take up the slack when they fall a little short. But that's not the great physician. The great physician does all the saving. He does all the saving. It's a person's sin of thinking himself righteous that keeps him from Christ. It's the sin of thinking ourselves righteous that keeps us from Christ. When God really makes us know we're sinners, we'll run to Christ. We'll flee to Christ. We have to have him. We have to have him. It's our imaginary righteousness that keeps us from him. Thinking we can bring some sacrifice to contribute. This is so common that after a while, men think they bring something to Christ. Christ said in Matthew 9:13, he said, go ye, learn what that meaneth. Speaking to these Pharisees, he said, go ye, learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mercy means salvation's entirely of God. Mercy means it's entirely of God. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. There's nothing we can sacrifice to make the Lord receive us. He's not interested in our sacrifice. Our Father sent his Son, who is the sacrifice God's pleased with. He's the sacrifice that accomplished everything the Father was pleased to accomplish and made his people pleasing to God by his sacrifice. So salvation beginning to end is all of grace. But if it's of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work's not work. It's got to be, if it's works, it can't be grace. But if it's grace, it can't be works. It's got to be one or the other. And salvation's all of grace. Here's the good news. Here's the good news for us. Every sinner, this is the good news. Christ said, I came to call sinners to repentance. That's the good news. The Apostle Paul was an aged believer, been in the faith a long time, and he rejoiced that that was so. Why? He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's why he rejoiced in this. After all those years and after being used of God like he was used, he said, I'm thankful God sent his Son to save sinners because I am the chief. I am the chief. What does Christ mean by a sinner? We see what he means by the righteous. What does he mean by a sinner? What's a sinner? A sinner is one that Christ... Now, everybody's sinners. We know this. Everybody fell in Adam. Everybody's a sinner. But we're talking about sinners that Christ calls. What is he referring to here as a sinner? A sinner is somebody Christ has made to see himself as he really is. As he really is. Seen himself as he really is. Christ has granted him repentance. Christ has changed his mind about himself. About himself. He was thinking he was righteous. His mind's been completely changed. He don't see one righteous thing about himself. All he sees about himself is he's a sinner. He's a sinner. That's what Paul meant all those years later when he said, I'm the chief. He said, this is what I see about myself. I'm a sinner. A sinner is somebody who sees that he's entirely ruined by Adam's transgression. So he came into the world ruined. He came into the world guilty. He came into the world conceived in sin. Came into the world under the curse and condemnation of the law as far as he knew it. And came into this world conceived in sin with a sin nature that's nothing but sin, so that all he did is sin. And all he does is sin. It comes from his sin nature, just like pouring water out of a glass. He's entirely in need of Christ to be all salvation. Entirely in need of Christ to be all righteousness. A sinner is somebody who's unrighteous in himself. He's unrighteous. To say I'm a sinner, to say of myself, in myself, I'm unrighteous. Except I be found in Christ, I am unrighteous. Guilty of breaking the whole law of God. Guilty. Guilty in Adam, but guilty in myself. Guilty. Guilty. Sees he's never kept God's law. Never kept God's law. Only broke it. Only broke it. In thought, the sin nature, the thoughts of the sin nature are only evil continually. Never kept it. Never kept it. He needs Christ to make him righteous. He needs Christ to be his righteousness. He needs Christ to justify him. To make him righteous, to make him justified, to make it so when God looks, when he opens the books, turn the pages, there's not any record of sin, past, present, or future. That's the only way God can have anything to do with us right now. That's the only way he can receive us into his throne is if there is no record that we've ever sinned, past, present, or future. We have to be righteous. We have to be justified. Holy God can't have anything to do with us otherwise. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. A sinner is somebody who knows his nature that he got from Adam is unholy. It's unholy. And as long as he lives in this body, as long as he goes through this life, it will always be a sinful nature. Nothing is done to his sinful nature. The Lord doesn't do anything to his sinful nature. It's just a sinful nature that the Lord's going to save him from with no help from him. The Lord's going to give him the power and the new man. He's going to create a new life in him, give him power, give him faith, give him strength, and give him pointing him to Christ, and all by making him see Christ. And when he sees Christ, there's the power. What's he called? The power and wisdom of God. And that's the power. That's the strength. Christ is our strength. He needs Christ to be his sanctifier. He needs Christ to be his sanctification. He needs Christ to be his holiness in his heart so that he looks to him at his right hand. A sinner needs Christ to purge his conscience. He needs Christ to free him from the guilt of his conscience, purge his conscience, to make him know he's accepted of God. To make him know Christ has accomplished his redemption by his precious blood. This is what Christ, when Christ said to Levi, "Follow me," those words came in spirit and purged his conscience. Purged his conscience. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. That's what Christ accomplished. He obtained eternal redemption. For every single person he laid down his life for, he redeemed us from the curse and condemnation of the law. And when he speaks and says, "Follow me," it's the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, who purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, to make us start following Christ and really following Christ. A sinner sees he deserves nothing but condemnation. He sees that. He knows that. He doesn't deserve anything but condemnation. He needs Christ to cast out the fear and the torment that's in his conscience. The Pharisees here operated on fear and torment. That's how religion operates. False religion, on fear and torment. They catch you and make you fearful and torment you. But listen to what the Lord does. Listen to what the Lord does. That's not how the Lord saved. That's not what the Lord does for his people. This is how he saves us from that. This is how he saves us from that method and that means. This is how he saves it from us. Perfect love casteth out fear. He's that perfect love. He comes. He's the perfect love. God is love. Perfect love enters in. And he casts out fear of making you know, as he is, so are you in this world. You are complete in him. That's what he makes you know. Love makes you want to love. Perfect love and laying down his life for his people when we didn't love him. Perfect love that come to us when we didn't want him to call us and we didn't want him to have anything to do with us. Perfect love that wouldn't take no for an answer. Perfect love that enters in and casts out the fear and the torment. It makes you see the great love wherewith he loved us. He makes us know that there he sits at God's right hand, and there we sit at God's right hand in him. Perfect as he is perfect, righteous as he is righteous, accepted as he is accepted. Though we're in this world, though we still have this sin nature, though we still see our sin and hate it and mourn it and long to be freed from it, we see him. And when you see him and you see him as he is, every time he gives you a glimpse of him, that casts out the fear and the torment. You have somebody that you want to see brought to Christ, and you want to see them submit to Christ, and you want to see them believe on Christ. Don't make them fearful. Don't try to make them do it. Love them to Christ. Perfect love casts out fear. You can't make somebody love you. You can't put love in the heart. But he can. He can. If we're true sinners, there's good news for sinners. Christ said, "I came to call sinners to repentance." God is exalted in saving sinners. He's exalted in saving sinners. Listen to Hebrews 8:12. "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." You see how his mercy is exalted? He's exalted as a merciful God. "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." Aren't you thankful he's merciful to our unrighteousness? "I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. I'll remember them no more," he said. God saving the guilty sinner exalts the grace of God in Christ. The law entered that the offense might abound. that it might abound to us, that we might see what we are. That's why the law entered. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace much more abounded. When he brings you to see just, how undeserving and how deserving of wrath we are, grace is just magnified to you. Grace is magnified to you. Grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by the things we do. No, by Christ Jesus our Lord. He's exalted. He's exalted as the great physician. The love of God is exalted in saving a sinner. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, when we hated God. When we hated God, our nature is enmity against God. Have you ever hated God? If we've never hated God, we don't know a thing about the love of God yet. How does hatred of God manifest itself? I don't hate God. That's how. Calls God a liar. Well, I got something I've got to do. That's how. You can't tell me none of my works don't count for something. That's how hatred manifests itself to God. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. The only one way you're going to live, that's if you're made perfectly righteous as God. And that's what he did. That's what he accomplished. That's what he accomplishes in his people. When he creates you anew, the body's dead because of sin. The spirit's life because of righteousness, his righteousness. The righteousness of God's exalted in saving a sinner because Christ manifests his righteousness in justifying his people by satisfying God's holy law. You see the righteousness of God. You see the righteousness of God. God didn't just ignore our sin. He sent his Son and paid the full penalty that was owed. The full penalty that was owed. He paid everything his people owed. He satisfied God for his people. God says, they're righteous. God says of you, believer, you're righteous. You're righteous. And it's done in a righteous way. God did it. God did it. God satisfied his own justice. Salvation by mercy excludes all merit in its object. Salvation by mercy takes away any merit from us. It's by mercy, not merit. Christ is the great physician who alone heals. And this is the thing. It exalts Christ. It exalts his Son. It makes us see he is the great physician. Christ is eternal life. He is eternal life. He is righteousness. He is wisdom. He is redemption. He is the power. He is the holiness. He is God who came and healed his people. And comes in power by his gospel and says, follow me, and heals you. And here's the thing about this now. This is the paradox of being made whole. When we weren't whole, we didn't see ourselves as sinners. We were whole, we thought. But when he makes you whole, and there's a new man in you that's whole, now you see, I constantly need the great physician. If we weren't whole, we wouldn't see it. If we didn't have this new man, we wouldn't see what we are by nature. Do you struggle with it? Do you feel like you're carrying a dead body around? You ever just sit and say, I'm going to go 1 minute and I'm not going to have a sinful thought? You put that law on yourself, that restraint on yourself, it won't be 20 seconds. Some men don't have that problem. Some people don't have that problem because they're whole. They don't need the physician. If you got a new man in you, you're struggling with sin every day. Let's be honest about this. It's so. He never stops calling his child to repentance. He never does. He's constantly having to purge us and cleanse us in the inward man and make us see this is sin. This thought's sinful. This act's sinful. This word's sinful. How does he do that? Turns you from you to him. We compare ourselves to, that's not as bad as this such and such did. I know they did. He turns you to him. Here's righteousness. Oh, I'm nothing but sin. I'm nothing but sin. And that with that is the balm. What's the balm of Gilead? It is the great physician. It's his word. It's his righteousness. It's him speaking into the heart. That's the power. Then you can mortify your flesh. But you can't till then. What is it? To confess your faults to one another. When a brother is in error, it's to know what you are about yourself, the sin you are, so that you can come alongside and say, brother, I know. I'm the sinner. I know. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Don't look to yourself. Don't look back at your works. Don't try to do some deed to mend yourself and reform yourself. Cast all that away. Look to Christ. It's the only way we can be kept. It's the only way we won't be back in fear and torment. We have to experience that perfect love ourselves to see we're nothing. Scott Richardson said, let me offend some sensitive ears. Scott Richardson said, we're a bucket of warm spit. That's what we are. Just nothing. Nothing. I can't preach us down low enough. But that's where we got to be if we're going to be. It's brokenhearted. It's really brokenhearted. Until then, it's a beatitude. Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? We wouldn't do that. He should be eating with us. That's what they were saying. He ought to be with us, not with them. That's what God has to keep saving us from all the time. Ishmael's way older than Isaac. He always will be as long as we're in this body. So God has to keep calling us out of the grave and saying, loose him, let him go, take the grave clothes off of him. And we're going to be shedding grave clothes the rest of our days until finally we just cast this dead body off by his grace and he makes us perfectly whole. The true sinner saved by grace needs Christ to continue showing mercy and granting repentance by renewing us daily. I don't think there's a day go by that he doesn't bring me to cry out and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. I need the inward man to be renewed day by day. Well, Christ called Levi because he was a sinner. Made him know he was a sinner. And he's called many others, and he's still calling sinners today. Are you one? Oh, I am a sinner. I need mercy. I need new mercy. I need mercies on mercies. But thankfully, brethren, if you need Christ to do all and to be all, and you cry out for mercy to him, he shows mercy. He just keeps showing mercy. You think, surely I've exhausted his mercy. You don't ever exhaust it. He keeps showing you mercy. And oh, aren't you thankful? It makes you go to him rejoicing, saying, he only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He's the great physician. Amen. Father, thank you for this word. We ask you to bless it to our hearts. Lord, thank you. Thank you for relieving your people, taking a burden off of us. Thank you for, Lord, keeping joy in our heart. Lord, keep this work ongoing in your people. Keep renewing us. Keep making us whole. Lord, we ask you, would you be pleased to call one of your people? Call us, call each of your people you've already called. Call us right now. We ask you, Lord, call us again. Lord, we pray that you always have the glory. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your righteousness, Lord. Thank you for all the unsearchable riches you've given us in Christ. Thank you for making us whole. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.